So I get in this little cab, this Nissan truck with him on the passenger side. So he starts up this thing, bum, 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 and he just puts it in gear, and then he pulls out of his shirt pocket the biggest doobie I have ever seen. He lights this thing up. There, he said, man, this is good stuff. And he hands it to me, and he starts driving. I thought, oh, no, thank you. No, 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 thank you. I handed it back to him, because maybe we're a little too close to my house, and Anna might have been watching.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, we began a message entitled, Who is My Neighbor? The Story of the Good Samaritan. Pastor Wayne was telling us about a guy named Dave who moved in next door and made life very interesting for Pastor Wayne for the next few months. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday with part two of a message entitled, Who is My Neighbor?
But the Samaritan didn't just stop there. Because Jesus shows us then the second step in proving that we're neighbors or developing neighborhoods. The second is this. Not only did he just be kind with the guy, he goes further. He takes him to an inn. In fact, he doesn't do just what was expected, because some of us don't even do that. He said, Wayne, you've got to at least start with what is expected. But then the Samaritan didn't stop there. He went ahead and he did something unexpected. Would you write that in there? Do something unexpected, which means go to the second step. What was that? Luke 10:35 tells us. Let's read it. Ready? Go. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. He went beyond what would have been expected and went out of his way to care for him. Now watch this. The first stage is kindness. That sets the stage for God to begin to move in areas of repentance. But the next stage is doing something unexpected when you go beyond that at your own cost and risk a little bit. That's where ministry now begins. Sometimes for us, it's just a reach to be kind. Now, that's good. You got stage one. The ministry only begins when you start to do the unexpected, because even people who don't know Christ do this stuff over here. But God is saying it's this next. When you start to care for that person, and even sometimes you go out of your way, that's where ministry starts. And that's exactly what the Samaritan did. He took him to an inn, and then he gave 2 denarii. A denarius is a 1 day's worth of wages. 2 denarii would be 2 days' wages. So if you make $20 an hour, let's say, times 8, it's $160. And so 2 days' wages would be over $300. $320. Hey, summertime, I'm not in school. $320. So he takes out 320 and puts it in the innkeeper's hand. He says, that should take care of his couple days, whatever, of food and lodging. And when I return, if it costs you any more, just go ahead and put it on my bill. I will pay you. Not him. I don't expect him anything in return. I am willing to do this. You think, wow. You see, he invests without expecting any return. And the Lord places that in the Bible. And later on, he's going to say, now, I want you to have the same heart. That's the kind of heart that I want you to have. That's about the greatest commandment. That's it. Oh, wait a minute. What do you mean? Because that flies in the face of a lot of televangelists that say, give and you give in order to get back. You give God a penny, he'll give you 100. Give him 100, you get 1,000. And so if you give, then you'll get more. So use God like a backboard, and you bounce a ball up against it, and it'll come back a bigger ball. And bounce it again, it comes back a bigger. So what happens is I'm using God as my investment broker, and only if he gives me a greater investment back. I'm using God for me. But now God says, but Wayne, when you do give, I will reward. I will pay you back. In fact, even more, Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says this, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will repay him. So I know God repays, but God is saying, but that should not be the motive of your heart to monopolize and become opportunistic about that. God says, I'll take care of my responsibility, keep your heart pure, and give without expecting anything in return. That's what the greatest commandment is all about. When you give of your time and your willingness, and you expect nothing in return except just the joy of serving, you are never, listen, you are never more like Jesus than when you give with that kind of heart. Many of you came back from mission trips. All of you raised your own support, and you went expecting nothing back from those mission trips except the fact that we had the joy of serving those people and giving them the love of Christ. Some of you went over to Merritt Wright Housing and cleaned up there, expecting nothing in return except the joy of serving. You are never more like Christ than when you have that kind of heart as your motive. Many of you have cleaned up Farrington or painted here, and some of you have cleaned up parks, went to Kalaupapa. Some of you are serving as volunteers here, and you give of your time for nothing in return except for the joy of serving. You are never more like the heart of Christ when you have that kind of heart with which you serve. The reason that kind of heart is so incredibly important to God is because when we serve, people or the world don't need to see us and our efforts. They need to see the heart of who? Of God, of Jesus. They need to see Jesus. They don't need to see me. They need to see Jesus. But if I don't have his heart, they just see me. And so the Lord is saying, have that kind of heart. And he said to the innkeeper, if there's anything more, I'll pay it. I'm just happy to be a part of this. See, that's the heart of Jesus who, when he gave his all for humankind, did he expect anything in return? Did he say, well, how much am I getting back on this then, Father? You want me to go and mess my life up for them? How much am I getting for this? What's the benefits? I get overtime? No. Then why did Jesus come? To get some investment back? Why did he give? To get money back? No, in fact, we not only said no and rejected him, we crucified him. We gave him zip back. Then why did he come? For God so loved the world that he gave all that he had. And you see, when we give in the same way, you are never more like Christ than when you do that. And that's why he says, if you'll catch this kind of heart, Wayne, if that'll become your heart, I created you in my image. That's the kind of heart that I created you to have. It'll require something of you, like so many volunteers, but that's why the heart of Jesus is seen. That kind of heart is so crucial. I remember when that was tested in me. It was a cold, cold November day when I looked out the window and I heard noise over next door, and I saw Dave cleaning his garage, throwing away a bunch of old parts that he got from Midnight Auto Supply. And and I heard the noise of clunk, clunk on his truck, and I was excited. At least he was finally cleaning something. And I noticed him struggling with an old greasy engine block, and he had a board up on his Nissan pickup, and he was trying to slide and scoot it up into his pickup. And it was 400 pounds or so, and he was really struggling. I mean, I could have picked it up and put it in there, but I thought, maybe he needs help. So I put on my oldest clothes, you know, because I was hearing God. God was saying, go help him. I said, okay, no. And this time I was a little bit more willing. Yeah, no problem. Put on my oldest clothes and went over there and said, hey, looks like you're cleaning up. Yeah, he said, cleaning some stuff, junk out of my garage. And he didn't say junk, he said something else. But he said, this is G-rated here. So he said, cleaning some of the stuff out of my garage. So I said, well, you need any help? He said, oh, yeah, man. So I helped him, we put the engine up, and we just started throwing stuff in his Nissan pickup till it was just full, just junk. Oh, thanks, man, thanks. So I said, great, and then where are you going to take it? He said, oh, I'm going to take it to the dump. I said, well, you're going to have to take all of the stuff back out. Yeah. I said, well, there's some heavy stuff in there. You need some help? Oh, yeah, that'd be really great if you could come. Yeah, I don't have anything else. Great, jump in. So I get in this little cab, this Nissan truck with him on the passenger side. The only thing I'm praying is, God, please let his heater work, because it was freezing cold outside. So he starts up this thing, bum, 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 and he just puts it in gear, and then he pulls out of his shirt pocket the biggest doobie I have ever seen. He lights this thing up. There, he said, man, this is good stuff. And he hands it to me, and he starts driving. I thought, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. I handed it back to him because Maybe we're a little too close to my house and Anna might have been watching. Just joking, you guys. Just joking. So I said, oh, no, thanks, man. Thanks anyway. And he, oh, man, good stuff. So the more he smoked, the more talkative he gets. Now, this is a little cab. And this stuff starts filling this cab. It looked like a cloud trapped in this cab. And I am just going, oh. And I'm breathing this stuff. And the more I'm breathing it, the more talkative I start to get. Man, just this cloud. You just, oh, secondhand smoke, you know? And I could just see the newspaper headlines the next day, you know? Drug enforcement official stop truck loaded with stolen parts. Under that line, it has this subheading, and pastor found stones. Well, thankfully, we got home without any incident. And I have to admit, by the time I reached the dump, man, I had breathed in so much of that stuff. A, I don't remember a thing about that day. But B, I just remember feeling really good about helping my neighbor. Well, several weeks went by, and at times I felt like a failure because I thought I never formally shared my faith with him, invited him to church or anything. But then I thought, now, wait a minute. No, I'm fine because I'm just doing what the Lord told me to do, and something's changed in my heart. I'd like to now talk with Dave. I waved him. We talk. We have conversation together. And by this time, I've mowed his lawn like 5 times. And it was okay. I was just fine doing that. I mean, it wasn't that big of a lawn, and I would always have extra gas. I'd just go do his. It was no big deal. And it opened him up, and we would talk. And it was just, it was really neat. It wasn't something I had to try to work up anymore. Because I found out that before God could change his heart, he had to change mine. And if God were going to use my heart, it had to be a natural kind of love, not just a contrived love, a worked up love, something where I try to do it for, you know, religious kinds of things, where I get religious points, you know. I said hi to Dave today. God, there you go. No, it just had to be some natural thing, not for religious accolades, not to get him to clean up his act so the property values would go back up. None of that. It was just natural. I enjoyed it. You see, what I'm finding is the greatest legacy that we can leave in our life is not how much religious stuff we did, but that everything we did out of a natural and genuine and authentic heart that I really love people. That's my greatest prayer. Lord, it's not how much I do. God, just make sure that everything I do with a heart that's genuine. That I don't have any contrived ulterior motives. God, clean my heart so that everything I do can be used by you. Because you see, if the heart that we with which we do something is wrong, God can't touch it. I mean, as soon as that activity is done, that's it. But if our hearts are good and it's pure, then the Lord can use that and the shelf life just extends and people's lives are changed because it's usable to the master. But if my heart's wrong, it's not usable stuff. The greatest legacy that we can leave to our children or to our friends or to people around is that what we do, whether it's big or little, that we do it with a heart that's pure. It's the greatest legacy. You see, legacy is like the footprints you leave behind. The other day, Aaron and I were having devotions and we were talking about legacy. And he said, oh, Dad, you know, sometimes it's really hard to make sure people see the Lord in you. I mean, you got to work real hard and watch out for misunderstandings and this and that. It's not easy. I said, no, it's not. It's really easy. No, he says, hard. I said, no. Because I said, really, your legacy, what you leave behind, is really an issue of how genuine your heart is when you do what you do. It's like your footprint. I said, oh, Dad, that's hard, though, sometimes. I said, no, it's really easy. I said, what do you mean? I said, well, Aaron, when an elephant walks in the sand, what kind of footprints are left behind?
We said, elephant.
I said, good. When a dog walks on the sand, what kind of footprints does it leave behind? He said, Dad, dog footprints. I said, very good. When a lion walks on sand, what kind of footprint he leave behind? Aaron said, Master, lion footprints. I said, very good, grasshopper. He said, Dad, what are you getting at? I said, well, if an elephant walked by and you saw ape footprints, what would that tell you? He said, well, that it's not an elephant. That it might be an elephant on the outside, but it's ape on the inside. I said, yes, you're getting warmer, grasshopper. That means that there is the costume or the image of an elephant, but you look at the footprints. What's on the inside? He said, an ape. I said, really good. If you want to leave elephant footprints, what must you authentically be from the core outward? He said, an elephant. I said, yes. And if you want to leave Christ's footprints, what kind of person must you be on the inside? A follower of Christ, clear to the bone. And if that is your heart, and he has transformed you, you just don't put on the image of a Christian. Yeah, the Christian talk. But if you're truly that kind of person, leaving the legacy of Christ's footprints is the most natural and authentic thing there is. It's easy, because you're just yourself. Because you understand that he's transformed you. Do you understand? If I walked by you, Aaron, and I walked by you and on the sand and you looked down and you saw ape footprints when your dad walked by, what would that mean? He smiled and he said, that inside you're a porgy. That's where he got his scar, right here on his head. You see, legacy is most lasting when you do what you do out of a contrived heart, religious heart? No, out of an authentic heart. And that's exactly what that Samaritan did. He didn't do it to contrive or get accolades. He did it because that just was his heart. And God is saying, go thou and do likewise. In fact, here it is. Here's the third step in being a neighbor. Would you write down, do something authentic. Do something authentic. Let's read the scripture out of Luke 10:36. Ready? Go. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. And Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Which one was a neighbor? The one who left your footprints. Exactly. See, to be kind, to do the unexpected, and above all, do it with an authentic heart, no ulterior motive. So that's the kind of stuff that makes you a neighbor. Well, several weeks later, Dave came by my house, and he never comes by my house, and he knocked on my door. He's never knocked on my door. When I opened the door, he was actually clean shaven, and he had taken a bath. I smelled. Hey, he took a bath. So I let him in the house because he took a bath. So I said, come on in. He sat down and he said this. He said, you might not know it, but for the last 2 weeks, my girlfriend and I have been going to your church. And without thinking, I said, no way. He said, yeah, we have. And we heard some pretty good things. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about it. I said, oh, shoot, go for it. Tell me. And we talked about his faith. A few Sundays later, I did see him in church, he and his girlfriend, and they both received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It was great. And Anna and I watched them as a few weeks later, they took their vows in marriage, and I watched them grow in the Lord, until I think it was a year and a half later, they moved and went to the East Coast. But that whole experience, you know that person that lived next door to me, I became his neighbor. That's a neighbor. So you choose friends. God chooses your neighbors. And how you treat your neighbor is what will fulfill the greatest commandment of all. How big is your neighborhood? Now, I didn't ask how big is your circle of friends. How big is your neighborhood? You see, those are the ones that you treat as neighbors, and you begin to see God doing something. Who's your neighbor this week? God will choose them. Watch for them. Might be out in the parking lot, supermarket, next to you on the bus. Be kind. And do the unexpected. And ask God to let it flow from an authentic heart. And when you do, that's how he changes the world. One neighborhood at a time. Let's be a part of that. Amen. You might be here today and you'd say, you know, Wayne, frankly, I relate more to Dave than I do you in this situation because I know that I'm far from God. I know that I need God's help and I've rejected his ways and I've substituted other relationships, but none of them fit very well. I just really need God's touch. Well, God's invitation is being extended to you today. And all of heaven awaits your reply and your response. You see, Jesus didn't come to bring a new religion. He came to repair a broken relationship. Firstly, between man and God. That's what he begins to repair. And then he comes to repair broken relationships horizontally. Broken dreams and broken expectations and hopes. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, where he begins the repair. And it's a lifetime as God begins to work in our relationship with the Father and then with one another, rearranging and transforming, redirecting. But God will not force his program and his life and his presence on you. He didn't me, and he won't force his truth on you. But he'll make it clearly available, so that we are able to make a wise choice, hear it and say, that's what I want. God, would you begin that repair in me? And as you say yes to Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins is a part of that giftedness. His mercy, sometimes his reproof, his discipline. But all of that is for our good, so that we'll become the people he created us to be. So the more and more you become the person God wants you to be, the more you can just be authentic and know that he's creating in you from the core outward a transformed being, so that you leave his footprints behind. It's the most natural thing in the world. So if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord, do it now. How do I do it? Just ask him. Real simple. And he will take it from there. Well, let's pray this prayer. Would you pray it after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I receive you, your forgiveness. You're changing me and making me the person you want me to be. Let there be less of me and more of you. Come into my heart. I receive you. And now I say this so everyone hears, so I can hear myself, you can hear me, and the devil hears. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, Who is My Neighbor? By Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We trust that this message has opened your eyes to see those neighbors whom God has placed all around you. Now you can listen to Words of New Hope anytime, on demand. Just go to www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. That's Spreaker. spreaker.com. Stream the message or download it to your mobile device and listen on the go. And with a click of a button, you can share Words of New Hope on Facebook, Twitter, or your other social media and help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ to family and friends. That's www.spreaker.com and search on Words of New Hope. Now available 24/7, 365. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.